Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports NFL, joins us now at Yahoo Schwab. Get him on Twitter. Thanks for doing this, Frank. Your takeaway on all that's happened with Antonio Brown here?
I mean, at some point, nothing surprises me with the story. It's just been so crazy from the beginning that anything you could have told me would have been within the realm of possibility, even Antonio Brown's Patriots career lasting one game. I mean, it's the twists and turns in this thing have been unlike anything I've ever covered, and I've been doing this, is my 20th season covering the NFL, so just crazy. And, you know, honestly, like, I don't want to be the I told you so guy, but this is what the Patriots deserved this. Like, they absolutely, positively knew every bit of baggage that came along with Antonio Brown. You know, and even if they didn't know the specifics on the lawsuit that came out or whatever, you knew that this guy was absolutely capable of anything. So I feel no pity in the world for the New England Patriots now. They honestly, I think they got exactly what they deserved here.
And that's what I kind of want to focus on here, because Antonio Brown, we're going to figure out what happens here. I'm sure news will start to come out and more information over time, and that's really the issue at hand. But the Patriots, on what they knew, what the Steelers knew, what the Raiders knew, isn't that a big part of this story? Like, if you're the Patriots and you go ahead and sign this guy and you still had information, that kind of, you know, we have a certain level for the Patriots of, hey, they just want to win. But that's a terrible, terrible look if they knew bits and parts of these stories that are coming out now.
Yeah, and I don't know what exactly, it's tough to say. Like, if they knew everything, yeah, okay, that's a different spin on it. But at the same time, when you're sitting down with that guy on a Saturday after he got cut, and you're saying, well, is there anything we need to know? And he says, well, there's a woman who might file a civil claim against me, and I haven't been criminally charged, and I don't even know if she's going to file that lawsuit. I don't know if that changes their mind. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. It's tough to say. It's just the whole situation is weird. Well, I don't know that we'll ever really find out exactly what they knew and when. But, yeah, it's not a good look for anybody. And, you know, I think in some ways kind of the NFL is almost relieved by this, that, you know, they can basically at this point suspend Antonio Brown and there's nobody to complain about it except Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah, and that's kind of it. Like, there's no chance anybody takes a flyer here on Brown after all that's happened here, right?
I wouldn't think so, but who knows?
The fact that there's doubt, Frank, though, like, that's just so NFL too, right?
Yeah, I mean, and this is going down a whole rabbit hole of what we expect from teams and what, I mean, let me put it this way. No coach has ever saved his job because he's got a bunch of good guys in the locker room. Nobody's gone on Sports Talk Radio and said, you know what, that front office went 4-12, but they signed a lot of really good citizens, so they should keep their job. We hold NFL teams to one standard, and that's winning. That's it. And so when NFL teams act in the interest of just winning and that's it, we're kind of hypocritical in criticizing them on that.
Yeah.
Really. So, I mean, when we sit here and say, like, Seattle was in on him. Let's say Seattle. Seattle finds him tomorrow and goes on and wins the division title, wins the Super Bowl. Pete Carroll's going to go to the Hall of Fame someday. You know what I mean? Like, yes, it is. It's probably, in a perfect world, Antonio Brown would not be signed by anybody after the allegations against him at least get resolved. But, hey, this is, it's a league that it operates in one thing and one thing only. And you know what? That's the standard we hold it to.
And you're already seeing some Philadelphia Eagles fans saying, hey, Alshon Jeffrey's injured, DeSean Jackson's injured, bring in AB. Yeah. So whenever there's a need, there's going to be interest at the very least. Last night's Thursday night football game, you had the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Tennessee Titans. All right, let's start with the result here. How much praise are you giving the Jags, and how much kind of disgust, I guess, is there with the Titans right now and what's going on with Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in Mariota. It's just not happening. If it hasn't happened in year five, it's not going to happen. It's just at some point you just have to say this is who he is, and he's not the guy we wanted. He's not the we're worth basically the second pick of the draft. I don't think he's ever going to really move beyond that. I don't think we're ever going to see Marcus Mariota be an MVP candidate or anything. So I think at some point you just have to say this is who he is. Can we live with this? How much is he going to run as next contract, or do we just move on? I think at some point they're going to have to look at Ryan Tannehill. It's just clear that Mariota's, he is what he is. He's He's decent. He's probably below average, and it's just never going to turn on for him. I think the Jaguars did fight hard. They're with a rookie quarterback. They have a lot of distractions this week with Jalen Ramsey. They did play well, especially on defense. I give them a lot of credit for that. But I think the takeaway for me in that game was it's just not going to happen for Marcus Mariota. Now, Tennessee Titans got to figure out what to do next, because there's just no way you sign Marcus Mariota to a big extension.
No, absolutely not. Jalen Ramsey, which team needs Jalen Ramsey the most, or which team do you think pushes hardest for Jalen Ramsey?
I think it's Kansas City. I mean, why not? At some point, your defense isn't great, but adding a real lockdown corner improves it tremendously. All of a sudden, you got Tyrann Mathieu. You would have Jalen Ramsey, all-pro corner, who played. You know, he's played really well this season. He's a great player. So I think the Kansas City makes the most sense by far. They give up a couple first-round picks. It's like, well, all right, we're going to be picking near the end of the first round anyway. We're fine. I think that makes the most sense. I don't know that necessarily Jacksonville wants to dump him for what might be the, 30th, 29th, 32nd pick of the draft, but I don't know who else is really going to give them maybe multiple firsts what they want. So I think Kansas City, look, just go all in right now. You have a window to win a Super Bowl. Do what it takes. Don't worry about what's going to happen down the road. Trade those first-round picks and get Jalen Ramsey.
So looking ahead at this weekend, the matchup, of course, everybody's going to be watching is KC and Baltimore. You know, this could be one of those situations where we see KC's downfall again, or what was their downfall last year. They can't stop anybody when they go up against some of the big-time teams in the league.
It's a fascinating game because, you know, the Ravens, everybody's on their bandwagon now, and I get it. Lamar's looked great. I think he's going to be a very good player. But they also have played the Miami Dolphins, who are basically the 33rd best NFL team. They're really not even in the league anymore. And they struggled at home to put away the Arizona Cardinals, who aren't very good. What do we know about the Ravens? Are they good? I think probably, but I think there's also an argument to be made that we haven't seen them tested by anybody yet. So I'm fascinated by that game. I think Kansas City, their offense is just so good. I mean, yeah, they might not be able to stop anybody, but nobody can stop them either. It's pretty remarkable what they've put together. I even without, they got running back injury issues, Tyreek Hill's obviously out, but it just doesn't matter to them. So it's going to be a fascinating game. I think we kind of know who the Chiefs are right now. I think we're going to know a lot more about the Ravens after this one. Can they kind of punch up in class? Can they compete against a really good team? We're definitely going to find that out on Sunday.
Frank, are you suggesting the Miami Dolphins join the CFL, the 33rd best team in the NFL?
I am shocked at how bad they are. I mean, again, who knows? It's two games. We've seen teams change after two games or midseason or whatever. It's not a guarantee they're going to be this bad for 16 games, but I don't know that I've seen a team look worse over two games than the Miami Dolphins have, especially to start the season. It's just shocking the level of bad play they're putting out there. Offense, defense, special teams. They go ahead and trade Minka Fitzpatrick, who's probably their best remaining player. They're just a dumpster fire at this point. They're terrible. And I don't know who they beat. It's hard to pick a team who's 0-2 to go 0-16, but I watch them and I just say, which NFL team? Maybe the Jets. Maybe the Jets are still going to be so beat up by the time they play that they could sneak one out against them. But I look at this team and it just has 0-16 written all over them. I think this really truly might be the worst team we've seen in our lifetimes.
Yeah, the tank job is fully on in Miami. And it's happened before as well with other teams. But I know it's a bigger discussion around the NFL and whether this should be allowed. Why is it a big deal now compared to previous years when the Browns and others have done it?
Yeah, I just think it's so stark right now. It's almost like their tank job worked too well. they went so far to the other extreme that they're barely putting out a competitive team. And I don't know what these leagues do, because the truth of the matter is tanking works. The Houston Astros did it. Chicago Cubs did it. They beat one World Series. The 76ers did it. They're in a pretty good shape right now, and they're probably the first or second best team in the Eastern Conference. You can't tell them that the Browns, if you want to call it, whatever they did, extreme rebuild, tank, whatever you want to call it, the Browns are in much, much better shape now than they were 2 years ago. If they were just trying to go 6-10 every year, they just decide we're willing to go 1-31 if it means a light at the end of the tunnel. So it works for teams. So it's hard to say you can't do that. It's hard to say, No, don't do that. Try to go 6-10 this year, Miami Dolphins. It's good for the league. Why would they care? So I don't know, you know, and there's no magic solution to this. The NBA's finding that out, where you can have a weighted lottery system and teams are going to say, well, okay, we can change our odds 5% to win the lottery. We're still going to do that. And if you don't have any kind of a the worst team gets the best draft pick kind of deal, it goes completely against the NFL's parity plan. So I don't know. I do not know the answer. I don't know how the NFL stops this, because I think teams are saying, hey, work for the Browns or work for teams in other leagues. We're going to try it too, because we're willing to go with the short-term pain to come out on the other end as a contender.
Yeah, I mean, the Astros one kills me, because they had four straight years where they lost like 100 games and their TV ratings were zero. And now they're, you know, the strongest team in the American League and are maybe poised to win another World Series this year. So it's a difficult conversation. On quarterbacks, you know, we saw Drew Brees go down. We saw Big Ben Roethlisberger go down. Eli Manning gets usurped for Daniel Jones. Are we seeing finally a new era of quarterback kind of take the torch here in the NFL?
Yeah, I saw some stat today that we're going to have more quarterbacks under 26 years old than ever before. It's going to set some kind of a record. I don't know that that's true, but it seems true, because there are a lot of good young quarterbacks in the league. And, yes, I thought Monday was kind of one of those days that I don't know that it necessarily resonated like this, because just everybody was shocked by the individual news. Basically, three Hall of Famers lost their jobs. I mean, Brees will be back, but, you know, Roethlisberger, I don't know that he comes back ever. I know he says he wants to. Maybe he does, but season-ending elbow surgery when he's 37 years old is not exactly a recipe for bouncing back strong. Brees will be back, I'm sure, but I don't know. I mean, thumb injury at age 40 is not exactly the best thing in the world to bounce back from mid-season. And then Eli is just not getting his job back unless there's an injury. So it seemed like this was kind of a shift. We saw three different franchises really have kind of this seismic event happen to them. And, you know, it is a little bit of changing of the guard. And, hey, you know, Daniel Jones looked good in the preseason. Mason Rudolph, people liked him coming out of the draft. And so, you know, Teddy Bridgewater gets his shot, or Taysom Hill, or whatever they're going to do. So it's just one of those deals where time moves on. These guys are, you know, lasting till 38, 39, 40 years old. Brady's 42. But it can't last forever. At some point, you got to move on, and it's happening for those three teams.
Hey, Frank, glad having you on here again. Thank you.
Yep, no doubt, guys.